Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
Booyah. It's amazing. Sebastian's hype, we know that. Come on. I love being here. Are we doing all right?
Yeah.
Jesus? Whew. The lights just went dim on us. Turning the power out. I love it. You guys ever seen that really weird guy who got on a stage and like said something super heretical and lightning hit and then it got dark and he's like, that's not enough. Yeah, that's not happening tonight, guys. I promise. Well, obviously, I know all of you, which is fantastic. I do. My name's Matt. Hello, everyone. Like an AA meeting. Hi, Matt. Thank you for getting it. I appreciate it. Guys, it has been a very long time since I've stood up here with you guys and talked about Jesus. I'm rusty. I'm a little bit nervous for some reason. I don't know why. I know all of you. It's like, this is just weird and I feel uncomfortable, but I'm excited. We are not in a series. I'm not Brandon. I'm not Sebastian. I am me. And we are going to be talking about prayer tonight. Look to your neighbor and say, prayer. In a spooky voice. No, it's not that spooky, I promise. We're talking about prayer. It almost reminds me of that AI, Allen Iverson, not AI like technology, all you young kids wouldn't get that. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer, the game that I love. No, none of you get that. That's fine. That's okay. We're talking about prayer tonight. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you prayed it once or twice in your life. Maybe you've heard, maybe your great grandmother pray it once or twice in her life. But tonight we are going to go line by line through the Lord's Prayer and just draw from it all that it has to say. Sound good? Good. Now, this is not going to work tonight if I don't get a little bit more enthusiasm other than this front row of like saints right here. This row is good. And Sebastian in the booth, he's hyped. Let's get some more participation. Are we excited?
Yeah.
Oh God, here we go. If you have a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Anybody got a Bible in the room?
Oh,
Kimlet, no Bible. Oh, there we go. Rock. Okay, I love it. Got that NKJV. What you got? What are you working with? NIV? NLT? Any Passion Translation people in the room? Okay, we'll pray for you. It's okay. We'll get it in. It's not bad. Will you go ahead? They haven't completed. You know, I understand. We're in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Let me know when you're there by giving me a little hoot hoot. Right off the bat. Why am I not surprised that Shaw's ready for me? Luke chapter 11. We got it on the screen as well. We got Nathan in there. Who's in the booth? Fantastic. My hero. Now, before we jump into the Lord's Prayer, I thought it'd be important to read verse 1. If you didn't know, the reason we have the Lord's Prayer is because of Luke 11 verse 1. It's interesting, right? We think the Lord's Prayer has just probably always been around. It actually came about in a very organic and natural way. And we'll read it. Don't go to verse 2, but here we go. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, they're talking about Jesus, when he ceased praying, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Stop right there. Think about this for a moment. One of Jesus's disciples was just sitting there watching Jesus pray. Not only is that a little bit creepy, but it's interesting, right? Think about watching Jesus pray, and something about what he's doing is moving you deeply. You're like, whoa, oh my, like that's not normal prayer. Something about it's special. So you go out of your way, you come to Jesus, and you ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Right off the bat, you can take notes here if you'd like. The title of this evening's message is Teach Us to Pray. And while you're writing that down, I'll tell you, this is a powerful four-word prayer that I want all of us to write down and adopt for our own, okay? Did you know that Jesus still teaches people to pray? Oh man, it's quiet. You hearing that, Ari? That's nothing. That's nothing going on in this room. Did you know that Jesus still teaches us to pray? Oh my God, it got even quieter. How's that even possible? Yes. Did you know? Yes. If you did, oh my gosh, people. Lord, I just pray you help us. You help me. Oh God, I need you. Amen. All right, that's our prayer for the night. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, open up again to Luke chapter 11. We're going to go verse 1 through verse 4 here. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we go. Give us day by day our daily bread. Matthew 6 says a little differently. Next verse. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you have your Bible, jump over to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be there the rest of the night. Matthew chapter 6. Are we doing okay tonight? Is it the looming feeling of going back to school that's just getting us down here? Is anybody weird and they're like excited to go back to school? You're not weird. I mean you're cool. I'm in. I get it. Who's dreading school? Let's just be real here. All right, I got it. I feel you. We got any seniors in the room? Seniors, God bless you. Got 1 year. You're almost there. Come on. Yeah, you're going military. You're not done. You're just beginning the journey. Any juniors? We got juniors in the room? Okay, we got a few juniors, sophomores. Where's the fresh meat? Freshmen. Oh, Lord, we got a couple of them in here. And then my middle schoolers, be proud. Just give me some, yes, we got you. You're in there. Kimlet's a middle schooler. That's amazing. All right. Guys, school's amazing. You're going to love this. So we're going to go line by line and break it down. If you're taking notes, again, I have no points for you. My challenge for you tonight is to actually make your own notes. I could spoon feed you a note. It would be fantastic. You'd probably get 3 points out of it, but it's not going to really be as significant as you leaning in and saying, God, speak to me. What's something that stands out to me? And then you write that bad boy down. If you don't have notes, pull out your phone. I'm going to say, do it. Give me a little Google review. This guy's amazing. Give me some notes here. I want feedback. Tell me something here. So the first line of the Lord's Prayer is this, Our Father in heaven. You can go to the first slide that says Our Father, not Matthew chapter 6. Maybe Sebastian can help you. Our Father in heaven. Right off the bat, we're going to go slow through this, people, so I don't want to rush it. Our Father. When you and I pray, we have to first recognize we're never praying alone. Maybe you felt like you're alone. You're never alone. The reason being is that Jesus says in Hebrews and in Romans that he is constantly making intercession on your behalf to God the Father. Always. He lives for it. Night and day, you're snoozing. Jesus interceding on your behalf. So when you pray knowing I'm never alone. Secondly, our Father in heaven. We are not praying as slaves. We're not praying as servants. We're not praying as orphans or people who've been abandoned. We're praying as sons and daughters of a king. This row, come on, give me something. I love it. Amen. We're praying as sons and daughters of a king. Do you understand that as a son and a daughter of a king, that makes you a prince and a princess? And that comes with royalty. It comes with authority. It comes with resources. When you pray, Our Father in heaven, it comes with power. Your words are powerful. Catch that. You need to catch that. This is going to change the game for you guys. Lastly, our Father in heaven. Quiz. Where is the Father at? Joel. Oh, somebody give this guy a cookie. This is amazing. Fantastic. Golf clap. Where is the Father, people? He's in heaven. Oh, this is great. I love it. You're making me work for my living today. I don't get paid to do this, but I'm working for it. He's in heaven. He's high above every power, principality, demonic force, struggle, circumstance, everything that you could possibly be dealing with, he is seated above it all. So you're praying to somebody who rules and reigns over everything. Let's just add a little nuance to it. He's actually made the enemy his footstool. come on, guys. That's fantastic. Thank you, guys. I'm loving it. Nobody's excited about it, but we're going to get there. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You can put hallowed be your name up there. Hallowed. Look to your neighbor and say, hallowed. Now look in a little bit of a different tone and say, hello. Hello. That is not saying hello, people. Hallowed means revered, honored, beautiful, wonderful, majestic, beautiful. Be your name. Hallowed be your name. Can I tell you, your prayer life won't be fruitful, it won't be effective, it won't be life and world changing if you don't first catch this right here. You have to come to God with reverence. Ooh. You have to come to God respecting God. That's tough sometimes. You have to come to God with an attitude that says, you're the one who should be lifted up, not me. That's really challenging sometimes. Anybody who's prideful in the room is like, yep, I get that. I'm one of those people. Hallowed is your name. A lack of reverence and honor, perhaps the fear of the Lord, will only handicap your prayer life. And here's the thing, hallowed be your name, beautiful be your name, wonderful be your name. If you're catching it, it kind of sounds like worship, doesn't it? Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Like, oh, what a beautiful name it is. Like, you got all the, I can't sing, guys. Don't, you like it? Was it pretty good? Come on, Kimley, that's what I like to talk about. Not even looking, we nailed it. Beautiful is your name. Did you know your prayer life and your worship life should intersect? They should be deeply connected. So if you're struggling to pray, and let's just be honest here, anybody find times where they just struggle to pray? Is it just me? Okay, good. It's like I'm talking to the sky. It feels like we're praying to the sky sometimes. For me, it's a lot easier to press into worship than it is to prayer. And the good news is they're deeply connected. When you pray, when you worship, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. You don't think that's going up to the throne room of heaven, hitting the ears of the Father and being like, amen, I'll make that happen. I'm not going to let you build your life on soil that's going to fade or on the sand. I'm going to make sure your life is built on love because you're praying it and praising it up to me, and I'm going to establish that in your life. Worship and our prayer life are deeply, deeply connected. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word eucharisteo, it's fun to say. Come on, eucharisteo. You like it? He likes it. Come on. Eucharisteo. You can say it with a little bobble over your head like you're sassy or something. Eucharisteo. Like you just insulted somebody. It's like a slang term. It's actually Greek, guys. It's pretty cool. It's the word that means thankfulness precedes the blessing. Thankfulness precedes the blessing. What comes first? Thank you. What comes after? Blessing. Hallowed be your name. God, you are so worthy to be praised. It's your hallowing of his name that actually causes heaven to come. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our next spot. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. We got giggling in the corner over here. It's good. They don't even know what's coming. I'm about to preach a dynamite message at you here. Question, what does heaven look like? Start shouting it out at me. Gold streets. We got two people immediately right off the bat. They love the gold roads. I got a mansion in heaven. Come on. What is heaven like? Talk to me. Perfect. I love it. What else? No tears. Jesus wipes away my tears. Amen. What you got? You got A-OK, you're right on. I love it. Fantastic. Come on, people, think about it. Envision heaven. If you have to close your eyes, close your eyes. What is heaven like? Food. Feasting. Amen, brother. I love it. There's a nice sirloin steak waiting for me in heaven. No temptation. Come on, he's getting it. Hey, let me just help. Are there crutches in heaven? How about glasses? Okay, interesting. Is there cancer? Okay, interesting. What else? What else is not in heaven, maybe? New bodies. So there's no brokenness in our bodies. You have chronic pain. You have problems in your hearing. You have eyesight vision. You're sore. You're achy. You got issues. None of that's in heaven. Do you get that? Do you understand that that's what heaven looks like? So when you pray, God, your kingdom come, you're actually saying, let the reality of heaven be the reality of where I'm at right now. So, ooh, this is good. Ephesians 1:3, you got it for me? Booth, you got it for me? Ephesians 1:3, this is gonna blow your guys' mind if it ever comes up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Come on, Booth, I love you guys. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So catch this. If you've been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, right? This is the warning. It's in your bank account, but that doesn't mean it's in your possession. You may have all of the legal rights to it, but you may not be experiencing any of it yet. Ooh, it's actually discouraging when you think about it. You're like, man, I have a lot more than I'm actually operating in. It's kind of a bummer to think about, but here's the beautiful thing. The Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, is a teaching of how to basically make a withdrawal from your heavenly bank account and access heaven realities here on earth. So look, you pull open your bank account, your heavenly bank account. I really should have picked up the Bible. That makes a lot more sense than this iPad. And I look and I say, wow, every spiritual blessing. So he says, by his stripes, he'll heal my body. So then you say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in my body. I am healed of any bone damage, any trauma I experience in this car accident. Amen. Amen, somebody? I look at my heavenly bank account and it says, you know what? God's gonna provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. Whoo! Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in my finances, Jesus. Scrape up some of the gold dust off the roads, Lord, and put it in my bank account. I'll take it, Lord. Get me a new car. You're gonna provide for me. We have to draw from heaven and have it come down to earth, amen? Now, I'm gonna be real with you. If anybody's ever told you that following Jesus is easy, I'm gonna tell you it's not. Ooh, it got quiet. It got quiet. I would encourage you. I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer. I really do. I want you to use this. It's a template. It's not a ritualistic thing you have to just repeat all the time. But I'm gonna say it like this. Maybe don't pray your kingdom come and your will be done if you're not ready to be obedient. Do you know who the hands and feet are of God on the earth? Yeah, it's you. It's me. God's chosen vessel for changing the world after he rose and went to be seated next to the Father, right? Were you and I. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we gotta be ready to respond to that because he wants to use you to change the world. He wants to use you to bring healing, to bring hope. He wants to give you dreams and visions and prophesy in and through your life. God wants to use you, but it requires you to be obedient. But here's the beautiful thing about obedience, guys. I'm just gonna tell it to you how it is. When you're obedient, you say, God, kingdom come. God, I pray the kingdom of God would affect that girl who has a broken face. What happened to her face, God? She has a broken face. It's not funny. Come on now, a broken face. No, she has a broken face, God. And God whispers to me, Matt, go pray for her. And I'm like, oh God, I just want you to do it. I don't wanna be a part. You have to be ready. Because he's gonna say, Matt, go pray for that lady. And I'm over here and I'm like, hey, ma'am, I see your face is broken. Let me pray and kingdom come. That's not funny. It's kind of funny until she's healed. Then it's not funny anymore. You can laugh all you want. Bam, you're healed. That's inappropriate. But you have to be ready, right? I go to an appointment at work. I see this guy. He's wearing two big clunky boots on his leg, right? It turns out he dropped a mirror. Trying to hang a mirror up on his bathroom wall, he hung it and it dropped on all 10 of his toes, nearly chopped off all of his toes. Two nubs who'd been disgusting, I'm sure. I didn't want to see it. But I get to his house. The first time I met him, he was walking around in flip-flops, super active. I come back to the house. He's in a wheelchair with boots on. He tells me the whole story. I tell him, I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. You know, when I was born, my legs were crippled and my parents prayed for me and my legs straightened out. And now look at me. I used to be able to dunk a ball. I can't right now, but I used to because God healed me, right? And I'm like, hey, can I pray for you? He's like, sure, I guess, just install my door. Like, just come on, get it done. So I awkwardly come up to the guy and I'm like, can I lay my hand on your boot? And he's like, sure. And I kid you not, guys. I'm like, this is how I prayed. God, please heal him, Lord. Amen. Really awkward. I mean, you could feel how awkward it is now. It was 10 times worse when I was doing it, right? I get up, I look at him, and I'm like, all right, have a great day. And I leave. I get out of there, right? I'm so uncomfortable. I'm nervous. 1 week passes. I'm driving down his street in my work vehicle, right? I see the dude walking down the street in flip-flops. So I'm like, I pull over and I'm like, Kevin, is that you? He's like, Matt. And he runs up to the car. He's like, Matt, you'll never believe it. Like an hour after you left, the swelling in my feet went down so much I could slip my foot out of my cast and my feet were completely healed. Look, there's not even a scar where it happened. Completely healed. When you pray, kingdom come, will be done, you gotta be ready to move. I was at a conference and I felt like the Lord just whispered in my ear, hey, I wanna heal scars tonight. Now, first of all, this was in a group, there's probably what, 40 people in here? The room I was standing in, there was about 400 people. I'm terrified. I don't like doing this, guys. As much as you think I like doing this, I don't love doing this. So I get up on a stage in front of 400 people trying to be obedient. And I kind of somewhat confidently like, all things means all things. God's gonna heal you of scars. If you have scars, come down for prayer right now. I step off the stage and I'm like, oh my God, I pray this something happens. Like, this is gonna be so embarrassing if it doesn't happen. They're never gonna let me speak again. And I'm freaking out. The first girl, her sweet girl, her name's McKenna. She comes walking up to me like this. These are kids, come on, what are you doing? Like, this is amazing. She has this like 4-inch black scar right on the top of her knee. I said, what's going on, McKenna? I fell off my scooter and busted my knee and it hurts real bad and I want healing because I don't like this ugly black scar on my knee. It's like, okay, again. I don't know what I'm doing. I just pretend like I know and it works. And I'm like, God, I just pray that you heal her. Your kingdom come, Jesus. Amen. And I open my eyes. What do you think disappeared? The scar disappeared. And I was so shocked. I was like, holy crap. And this little 6-year-old girl's like, watch your language. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, this is incredible. This is incredible. 36 kids get healed of scars that day. 36. One girl had a burn on her arm for when she fell into a fire, gone. Another kid had a scar about 3 inches on his ankle. I didn't pray for him. We had his friends who were in like 3rd, 4th grade pray for him and he got healed. Your kingdom come. Well, there's no scars in heaven. There's no broken toes in heaven. Come on. What could you do by praying heaven to earth? And we're only on that. And I got about like 9 minutes left. I got an hour message and 30 minutes to preach it, guys. This is not a good setup. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Gosh, give us this day our daily bread. Keep that up there for me. Anybody like bread in the room? Come on. Okay, we're gonna take a minute here. We're gonna take a minute here and just correct some behavior. I say, does anybody love Jesus? And you're, like, you get one hand that's like, meh. How about gluten? Oh my gosh, gluten bread, I love bread. Oh my gosh. And I say, how about a Thanksgiving ham? Oh my gosh, Thanksgiving ham. What? Oh, this is ridiculous, people, come on. I'm talking about Jesus and I mentioned bread and you guys about lose it. This is heartbreaking. Give us this day our daily bread. This part of the prayer unfolds in 2 big main ways. The first one is that you can go to God about your regular daily needs. He invites that, actually. If you think, this is too small, it's so trivial, I barely care about it. Why would God care? Pray that. You're a little nervous about a test. You're going to get your permit. You're going to do anything, whatever you got going on the docket and you want to pray to God about it. Maybe it has nothing to do with a request. Maybe it's just like, God, like, I'm just feeling a little lonely. Would you talk to me? Give us this day our daily bread. He will meet you right there in that place. Your basic everyday needs. Amen? That's good. The second fold is when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We are praying that God would give us exactly what we need while keeping us from distraction that would take us away from him. This is a prayer that says, God, keep my eyes fixed on you. It's a prayer of practicality, but also pursuit. I want to be after you, Lord, but I also need my needs satisfied. It's also Matthew 6:33, that if we seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things that you need, he'll take care of them for you because he's a good God and he cares about your needs. Amen? Amen. Do we want a story? Do we have time for a story? We don't have a lot of time. I'll be quick. All right. I am doing an install at this lady's house. I don't remember her name. She was a lady. I don't know. I'm praying, and I'll be honest. It was in 2020. It was right about July of 2020. Obviously, I don't know if you guys knew about this. There was this, it was called COVID. Did you ever hear about that? Yeah, COVID. Did you hear? COVID. There's this thing called COVID that happened. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but it was intense. And my company actually had to shut down like half the branches of the company. And we were going under. It was not looking good. And I wanted to help the company out and go to our Dallas market to help cover some bases. But they said, Matt, we can't send you unless you're vaccinated. Now, I'm not opening up an anti-vax or pro-vax conversation. We are not doing that tonight, guys. We're going to talk about bread and other stuff. But what I want to tell you is that I was really nervous about getting vaccinated. Just honestly, just to be real with you, I was nervous. At the time, all the politics and all the stuff, it's like you could be infertile if you do this. You can have like a weird ear grow out of your face or something. I was just nervous, right? And so I'm at this customer's house, and I'm literally like, Lord, like, what do I do? Like, do I get vaccinated, God? And then I hear the Lord just whisper this question to me. Who gave you the ability to conceive children? And I was like, well, I guess you did, Lord. And he said, well, if someone were to take that from you, do you think I could give it back to you? And I was like, yeah. And he said, then don't worry about anything. And I was like, relief. Making a decision that's very controversial when you're talking to the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who speaks and universes are created, his words mean a lot to you. So the world's fighting about, do I get a vaccine? Do I not get a vaccine? I hate you, kicking puppies and all this stuff. I'm over here just chilling. I'm filled with peace. I'm not anxious about anything. So I did get the vaccine. This is weird. Like I feel like I'm like telling everybody I did. Oh gosh. Because I felt like the Lord would guard me and protect me no matter what. So I then went to Dallas and helped the company. It ended up shutting down anyways. Whoop-de-doo. Like that was fantastic. But I trust the Lord no matter what, guys. That's an odd ending to that story. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What does forgiveness have to do with prayer? Right? Why can't I just pray? Like, I'm really annoyed with this person, but God, give me everything I need. What does forgiveness have to do? Isn't that interesting that in the middle of the Lord's prayer, he just throws in there forgiveness? Make sure you're forgiven. Make sure you know about that, and you're also forgiving people. Here's the deal. This part of the prayer is simply you confessing to yourself, but proclaiming to God, your forgiveness is enough for me, which makes it enough for me to forgive others. Here's the problem. It's very easy for us to receive the forgiveness of God for ourselves, but it's very hard sometimes for us to apply that to someone who's wronged us. And this is how it ties into prayer. Catch this, I'm not looking at people. This is just the truth. That when you start deciding who deserves and who's worthy of the cross, your prayer life just goes down the hole. Like you just get no effectiveness. Is the cross good for this? Well, I don't forgive them. They wronged me, Matt. I can't forgive them. Well, you've just decided that what Jesus did on the cross doesn't cover them in your heart. Now, it does, guys. Let me be clear. The blood of Jesus covers all of our error, all of our wrong, all of our issues, everything we could ever think of, all the sin in the world covered by Jesus. But in our hearts, we've decided, but that person doesn't get it. That's going to make it really hard to receive effective prayer in your life. You have to first receive, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of all of my debt. I have sinned. I'm still sinning, Lord. You are forgiving me constantly. And because of that, I can look to my neighbor who's wronged me and say, God, I forgive them too. I was, I got a lot of stories. I was driving up to Forest City, which is where Ari is from. Shout out. That place is in the middle of nowhere. But it produces Ari, so obviously it's a great place here. So I was driving. Sebastian says amen in the back. I was driving, and I was praying, and like I did at the beginning of my message, I said, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. And I had this beautiful, probably like an hour drive with Jesus, just talking to Jesus. And at the end of it, I'll tell you this. In Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, it says that God will speak to us by giving us dreams and visions. Let me make that simple. You know what a dream is. You've had dreams. God will give you dreams. Visions. Sorry, I shouldn't have had McDonald's. Visions, right? God will just put a picture in your head. That's what it is. It's not spooky. It's not weird. It's like when you're dreaming, you see the picture in your head. It's just in the middle of the day, a picture pops in your head, right? So I'm driving up to Forest City, and this picture pops into my head. It's like a little story. And I'm in a prison, and there's this massive big dude behind the prison bars. It's a cliche, like prison bar. You can stick your hand through it. And I walk up to him, and I stick my hand through the prison bar to shake his hand. What does he do? He grabs my hand and breaks it. Just snaps my arm in half. And the guards grab me and pull me away from the prison. This isn't real life, people. This is in a dream, like in a vision I'm having. They're like, oh my God, he's so brave. Like, no, this didn't happen for real. This is just a picture the Lord's showing me, right? And so he breaks my arm. The guards pull me away. And as they're pulling me away, I shout to the man, you're not who they say you are. And the man starts crying in the prison. So they get me all bandaged up. I get my cast. And this is all just happening in my head while I'm driving here. I go back and I stick my arm through the prison door again to shake the guy's hand. What does he do? He grabs my arm and he breaks my arm again. Then he grabs a shiv and shivs my arm. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they pull me out again. And what happens is I shout, you're not who they say you are. And he starts crying again. His heart's just broken again. And I come to, and the Lord just starts talking to me about, we have to refuse to call people anything less, refuse to call people anything short of what God calls them. Here's, and I'm not gonna get preachy about it. This is just something on my heart. This has nothing to do with the message, but it's on my heart. I care about our prison systems. I really do. The prison system says this, you make one really bad mistake and we're gonna identify you by your worst mistake the rest of your life. And I think all of us can relate to making a really bad decision and then feeling like that identifies me the rest of my life. They trade your name for a number and they just wait for you to die. That is not the kingdom of God. Jesus wants us to see the worst people in the world and say, God loves you. He has a future for you. Your best days are still ahead of you. This is not your end. You're not a murderer. You're not a liar. You're not somebody who breaks hearts. You're not somebody who's just mean. You're not somebody who's broken. You're more than that. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. It says that you're a new creation in Christ. You're old man. All the things you used to do, your past sin, your worst day, the lowest moment of your life, you are an old man is gone. And you're a new creation in Christ. That is crucial to our prayer life. God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Question, does God tempt us? No, it doesn't. That's okay. Honestly, as I was preparing this, I was shocked by this line right here. This is one of the most theologically interesting thoughts in the world, right? Here we go. Why does Jesus teach his disciples lead us not into temptation when we know that God doesn't lead people into temptation? Think about that. Take a second. Let it sink in. James chapter 1, verse 13. Do we got it in the booth? Let's read it. James 1, 13. It should be the very next slide. Could you click it for me? James 1, 13. You don't got it? Okay, so be it. We'll keep going. James 1:13, it talks about, oh my gosh, let me pull it up for you guys. It's too good. I don't want to miss it. Anybody got a Bible who can do it faster than me? Nope, because I'm there. Boom. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted, nor does God tempt people himself. That's in James chapter 1. God doesn't tempt people. But in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11, it says, God, don't lead us into temptation. Isn't that odd? That word, temptation, in the Greek. Please go back. I love you guys. I love you guys. Can we go back to the word temptation in the Greek is not tempting you to sin. It's actually the word trial, hardship, persecution. Now, here's the thing. I told you earlier, following Jesus isn't the most easy thing in the world, but when we pray, we should pray, God, don't lead us into trial and into tribulation, into hard times. Did you know that that's not promised? That there are tough times. Did you know that all of the original 12 disciples, other than John, the beloved, died being martyred? That means killed brutally. Some of them were sawn in half. Some were put on the cross upside down. Some were boiled alive. They lived a very challenging life. And so the Lord taught them to pray, God, lead us not into trials and tribulations. And you know, when we pray that, God will actually answer us. He'll help you avoid trial if you don't need to go through trial. He'll help you avoid the problems that come up and catch the back half of it. But deliver us from the evil one. We all know there's a God, right? There's an enemy, Satan, Lucifer. This is really intense. I'm sorry. This is part of the Lord's Prayer, but I got to cover it with you guys. You have to know that there is an enemy. One of the most creative things Satan can do to a modern world like today is to convince us that he's not real. So then when you go to fight against the enemy, you're not fighting him, you're fighting everyone but him. Because you don't think the devil's not real, Matt. He doesn't have the long tail and the pointy ears. Like, no, there is an enemy. He doesn't look like that. He's actually pretty stunning from what the Bible says. But he is real. Now, let me tell you, you are not supposed to harp on the enemy being real. Let me tell you that. Deliver us from the evil one. Eep, that's it. Don't harp on it long. The Bible says to keep your minds on things above, not things below. Good things, pure things, holy things, lovely things. Do not focus on the enemy. Do you have any of my scriptures in there, or did I just totally flub that? Philippians chapter 1. Yeah, beautiful. Catch this verse. This is going to change your life. This is delicious. It's scrumptious like bread. And not in any way, catch this, and not in any way terrified by your adversary, enemy, there you go, which is to them proof of their perdition, but to you salvation and that from God. Let me translate it for you so it makes sense to your stage of life. When you and I are unafraid of the enemy, it's a reminder to him that he's doomed. I'll say it again because it's pretty good and it's getting quiet. When you and I are unafraid, unimpressed, that's just the devil. That's no big deal. When you're unafraid of him, it reminds him he's doomed. He can't win. It's a lost cause. People live very afraid of the enemy. That's not our call. That's not our job. We don't have a big enemy and a small God. We have a big God and an inconsequential enemy. He is tiny and not effective. You see the cliche pictures of Satan and Jesus arm wrestling, and it's really close, and the post says, like the post, and Jesus will win the arm wrestling contest. Bam! Like, that's not real. God has overwhelmingly wiped the floor with Satan and his coworkers. He's just letting them live around just a little bit before he puts them to an end. We have overwhelming victory in Christ. Don't get that confused. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Catch this part. This is so delicious. You know what? Forget that. I'm gonna share one more quick thing. Then we'll wrap it up. This is so good. Oh my gosh. I don't even know how I should share this. Again, I was praying and I had a dream. I went to bed, I had a dream, and I was standing in a room with this girl, probably like 16, 17 years old, and there's four walls, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Three windows per wall. Maybe I'm dreaming this because I work in windows, but three windows. I'll sell all your parents' windows. You just come talk to me after service. Now there's 12 windows, and I asked the girl, hey, what window do you think that God can shine light through? There's 12 windows. She says, all of them, Matt, except for that one. And almost instinctively, she walks over and she puts blinds and curtains and covers up the window, right? Morning comes, the sun rises, and she's, and you see window through, we see light through 11 windows, right? And then she says, Matt, look, I told you God's light doesn't shine through that window. Look, there's no light in there. Because she put blinds and curtains and covered it up. We do this a lot with our prayer life. God would never heal my body. And then you, in your heart, you put up the blinds, you put up the curtains, you put up all the stuff. And then when God comes to heal your body, you're just so closed off to it, it never happens. You have to make space in your heart for God to break down your preconceived notions of how things are gonna work. You have to come with an open heart, open eyes, anticipation, wonder, and anticipation of what God could do. I'll keep going. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Someone say amen. Amen. This is the last part of the Lord's Prayer, and it is so important for all of us. So I need you to hear this because I'm so excited why that's in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is in there because God anticipates you having answered prayers. It's pretty cool. Why would God put this in there? Because when we get a lot of answered prayers, the unfortunate reality is we start thinking it's because of something we did. Oh, look at me. I prayed for the sick and they got healed. I must be pretty awesome. Wrong. You're obedient to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who speaks and universes are created. Yours is the kingdom, God, not mine. Yours is the power, God, not mine. Yours is the glory, God, forever, not mine. A prayer like that keeps your heart centered. You don't want to be prideful. You don't want to be cocky and arrogant and just quench what God wants to do in your life. You need to walk in humility. And that comes at the end of the Lord's Prayer as a reminder. You're going to get answered prayers. Don't let it get to your head. Isn't that kind of cool? It's kind of fantastic. God works right in there for you. All right, we're going to close here. Are we ready? I have another question, and then we'll end out. Whose words are more important in prayer, yours or God's? God's, okay. We got some theologians in the room. Fantastic, fantastic. God's words are more important. Guilty as charged. I'm going to say it right here. I used to think my words were more important. And it was reflected in the fact that when I prayed, I did all the talking. God, I need this. Please do this. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. All right. Amen. And then I would just absolutely walk away from the moment. Healthy prayer is when you pray and talk, but then you listen. So many times we're doing monologue at God instead of dialogue with God. We actually have to talk to him and let him talk back to us. God's words are way more powerful than our own words. We ought to prioritize his words, and we do that. Some of you might be thinking, how in the world do I hear God? You're talking about it like he's like super loud and booming, like, Kimberly, like, go play that song in a beautiful way. Like, go do, like, no, like, it's not like a booming voice from heaven or like some dorky voice like that, whatever that was. It comes in a still, small voice. Elijah was on a mountain, one of the prophets of old, and it said that there was a fire that came, then a mighty rushing wind that came, and then the earthquake that came, and God wasn't in any of those things. But then what came after that was a still, small voice. And God was the still, small voice coming to whisper into Elijah's ear, what are you doing up here, man? And they have this dialogue. You can't hear a whisper when there's a lot of noise going on around you. If I'm on a roller coaster and Kimberly's whispering in my ear, I'm not going to hear anything. I'm going to hear, I'm going to be all crazy. We have to silence the noise around us sometimes to hear the voice of God. Catch this. This sucks, but it's kind of true. Sometimes the loudest noise in your life is on the inside, not the outside. Man, I've just been on Instagram all day and I feel so overwhelmed. I don't know why I can't hear God's voice. Awkward. I've been filling my heart with such horrible hatred music, stuff that's just so crass, I can't even talk about it at church. All right, Lord, talk to me about my salvation. I don't know. I'm going to go to bed and sleep and eat some bread. We do this, don't we? It's so silly, it's so trivial, but we do this. How can we expect to say, Lord, again, goes back to hallowed be your name. I respect you, God, but I'm not gonna listen when you speak. How can we do that? We have to cultivate a quiet lifestyle. You could still have fun, listen to loud music, go on roller coasters, but set time aside to get quiet before the Lord. That's so good. Amen. All right. We pray for provision. We pray for the sick. We pray for health. We pray for relationship. God, just talk to me. I'm lonely. You pray for intimacy with Jesus. There are a ton of different nuances with our prayer life. But in all these different ways we pray, we have to remember that God's voice is precious, his words are powerful, and he deserves to be prioritized. I'll say it again. His voice is precious, his words are powerful, and he deserves to be prioritized in our life. Let me pray for us and we'll get out of here, okay? Lord, we thank you so much for your kingdom, your word, your will, your ways, you, Lord. And just like the disciples did some 2,000 years ago, we tonight join in the prayer and say, teach us to pray, Jesus. You, Lord, can love 7-8 billion people all at once. I confidently believe, Lord, that you could teach every single person in this room how to pray. God, I pray that you would speak to us louder, that you would help us and teach us to cultivate a quiet time to get alone with you. Lord, I pray that the Lord's Prayer would just reign and rule in our hearts, God, that we, even in the coming and going, Lord, this would be a prayer that is lifted up constantly, God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. We want heaven to come to earth in our families, in our bodies, in our finances, in our relationships, in every conceivable area, God. Let heaven come to earth. In Jesus' name.
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.